The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey everybody, it's Tim Miller from The Bulwark here with my colleague Jonathan V. Last. I don't do this enough. Subscribe to the feed. The TPUSA losers got a million new subscriptions from their halftime show at the Gosling.
Never nude Kid Rock.
I love to fish. I want to kiss my wife. It's so hard in this country to be country. It's like, that's the best you guys got? So anyway, they got a million subs off of that. So you subscribe to us. Help us compete. JBL, I want to talk to you about the Pam Bondi hearing on the Hill. I haven't got to see a lot of it because I was on I've seen the clips. I was on a plane back from California, and I was expecting to watch it, but some of the channels were airing some of it live, so I got to see it in bits. At one point, about halfway through the flight, though, I did pop over to Fox, and I was like, wonder what they're doing with this. And Fox has turned into like a true crime network now during the day. I don't know if you know that. It's just all murders and the Nancy Guthrie abductions is an appropriate story, but like it's just this, the testimony was barely existed. It's like the end of the half hour, they got to it, they did a little break, and they were like, ho, 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 Pam Bondi really got them, pointing out the stock market is up. Do people who don't like that not have a 401k? So I don't know that it's breaking through as much as we wanted on Fox, I guess, is my take. But, you know, hopefully people can post this and their MAGA family members can see it.
Yeah, that's good family advice.
let's start with that
Don't
stock
do
market
that.
Clip.
Yeah.
I guess before we start with the stock market clip, do you have any thoughts that, you know, any wrapping paper you want to put on the whole day?
One thing, it is entirely new to have an attorney general treating Congress with contempt. Like open contempt, and also acting as if she works directly for the president. This is, again, I feel silly even having to stipulate to this, but in the before times, the attorney general and, in fact, all cabinet members would go through the motions of, yes, sir, honorable gentleman or gentle lady, this is an interesting question. What I really want to talk about is blah, blah, blah. And they would go to pains to underscore the fact to which they were independent of the president. And that's just gone. She acts like she's Stephen Miller.
Yeah, I mean, worse. I honestly, at times, Carolyn Leavitt.
Like, yeah, at or least Carolyn Leavitt.
Right. Plausibly tries to answer the questions being asked. Yeah. Pam Bondi just had dealt with the elected representatives of We the People.
Yeah,
with utter contempt, as if they had no bearing, or as if they were just gnats flying around her head.
And again, people don't understand this, but this is brand new. It didn't used to be like this.
This is brand new, though I'm kind of surprised they're showing up at all. What's your take on that? Why are they showing up at all?
Well, I think on the Epstein thing, it's because to not show up with Epstein, bad optics now. You got to show up because you have to rep Trump on Epstein because he's at the bottom of this is like, oh, got to make sure people don't think that he was, you know, doing stuff. And so that's why,
you know what?
Yeah. Okay. Is that your read too or no?
I think it's a little bit of hubris and also, yeah, a little bit of optics. I don't know. But part of it is, it just is like the one thing that it makes me think, and you oftentimes point to the other side of this, where you're like, if Donald Trump was not planning on leaving, what would he be doing differently? You know, yeah. And like, I think here's one example, like if they were really planning on just becoming an autocracy, one thing they would be doing differently is saying, pound sand, Congress, we don't need to show up to your stupid kangaroo court. And they're not doing that. They're going. I just think that's an interesting data point.
Just want to ask, though, what do you think the odds are that they continue to show up in a Democratic led house? Because great, I think question. They go to zero.
Yeah, I was going to say below 50. So there we go. Right. That's the difference between us. You know, I'm always in the hedging. Let's move to the wonderful optics from her conversation about things are going great in your 401k. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. Fox was telling us about that today. Pam Bondi was asked about various Epstein items. Let's hear what her initial spin was.
Have you apologized to President Trump? Oh. Have you apologized to President Trump? All of you who participated in those impeachment hearings against Donald Trump, you all should be apologizing. You sit here and you attack the president, and I am not going to have it. I'm not going to put up with it. You know, all they want to do, the American people need to know this. They are talking about Epstein today. This has been around since the Obama administration. This administration released over 3 million pages of documents, over 3 million, and Donald Trump signed that law to release all of those documents. He is the most transparent president in the nation's history. And none of them ask Merrick Garland over the last 4 years one word about Jeffrey Epstein. Mm. How ironic is that? Mm. You know why?
Was Merrick Garland
because Donald Trump, the Dow right now is over, the Dow is over $50,000. I don't know why you're laughing. You're a great stock trader, as I hear, Raskin. The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000.
I guess that kind of answers my rhetorical question, why show up to do a performance for the audience of one?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a lot like J.D. Vance in front of Zelensky. Like, you know, have you even said thank you once? Have you even apologized? The weirdness of the parallel structures here shows that these people do understand what he wants to hear. Right. Yeah. He wants to hear them berating the bad people for not doing whatever thing they should have done in the president's fantasies. And so for Zelensky, it's like he should have been bowing and scraping and thank you, thank you. And for them, it's, oh, Mr. President, we're so sorry. We're so sorry over the impeachments.
I think that she knows that Trump likes that and that the like Team Jersey MAGA people will love that performance. Yes. Right? I mean, it's like it's breathless. It's ridiculous. It's not compelling. The problem for me is, though, in the Epstein situation is a little different, right? Because in theory, they would also like to be talking to Roganverse, right? Like podcast land, like other people who have been interested in Epstein who are not necessarily Team Jersey Republicans, Sean Hannity viewers. Like that's going to do nicely on Sean Hannity. I feel like that doesn't play at all with like regular bros who are like, wait a minute, I just want to know who the kid fuckers are. Okay, great, thanks, congrats on the NASDAQ. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand,
she also doesn't seem to have control of her faculties, really. She's a little...
Well, again, the idea that your attorney general is just somebody who stands there shouting in all caps,
yeah,
is... there are positions in the executive branch where it is okay to have somebody like that. Traditionally, that has not been the nation's top law enforcement officer. Just saying. But I think they've probably made peace with the fact that they're going to lose whoever they're going to lose in bro world over Epstein. Mm-hmm. And what is really important to them, because they can survive losing those people.
Yeah.
They can't survive losing the Team R jerseys.
Yeah.
And so that's why they've got to lock those people down. Because if you start having erosion on them, we saw this in the YouGov poll yesterday. You know, he's down to like 82% approve from Republicans, which sounds like way more than it should. but is actually for him quite low. Normally he's in low 90s, high 80s.
Well, as these things go, as these hearings go, as you know, folks who are watchers of them, they go back and forth with the questioning. So you have a questioning from the Democratic side and the Republican side. The questioning from the Republican side was overwhelmingly like, Attorney General Bondi, will you tell us how great of a job you guys have been doing going after the woke left? But there was one exception to that, Thomas Massey of Kentucky. Maybe providing a reason to answer to your question from TNL yesterday, JVL, why stay as a Republican? He gets to ask these questions from the Republican side of the table.
Fair enough.
And Thomas Massey giving her the business a little bit. Let's watch.
Who's responsible? Are you able to track who in your organization made this massive failure and released the victims' names? Are you able to track who it was that obscured Les Wexner's name as a co-conspirator in an FBI document? Do you have that kind of accountability?
I believe Wexner's name was listed more than 4,000 times.
I already told you that. Where he's listed as a co-conspirator.
Can I finish my answer? Come on, let me finish my answer. We corrected that within 40 minutes. He was already, you're acting like everybody's trying to cover up Wexner's name.
Reclaiming my time.
I'm going to answer this question.
Reclaiming my time. Mr. Chairman.
This is how this works.
Can I have my time?
Mr.
Chairman.
The gentlelady can give her answer. The time belongs to the gentleman from Kentucky.
All right, I'm reclaiming my time.
Can I give my answer?
So yes. I'm going to put the language of the bill up on the screen.
Chairman, may I give another my question. Answer on that? It's a political joke, and I need to give my answer on that.
We'll let the Attorney General respond, and then the gentleman can move to
Chairman,
his next question.
It's my time.
Within 40
Chairman.
Minutes, you asked me a question.
You
within 40 minutes, Wexner's name was added back.
Within 40 minutes of me catching you red-handed.
There was one redaction out
where
of
he's
over
listed
40,
as a co-conspirator.
Okay. And we invited you in.
Gentlemen.
This guy has Trump derangement syndrome.
He has Trump derangement syndrome. Thomas Massey, Republican congressman from Kentucky, failed politician. I don't think one more election than Pam Bondi has. But what'd you make of their exchange?
I would say the dishonesty is breathtaking, but of course it's not, because I mean he's asking a very reasonable question, which is in this incredibly crucial place where there are documents in which Wexner's name is listed as a co-conspirator that got redacted in flagrant violation of black letter law. Can you tell us who did that? And that's not even asking like, who did that? It's like, how does your system of redaction work?
Yeah.
Do you have a setup in which every redaction is attached through metadata to the person, the user who logged in, who was carrying that out? Which is a totally reasonable question, actually. And kind of an interesting question, right? You assume all this is being done electronically. It's not like people are sitting there with black Sharpies.
Yeah.
Is everybody who's doing this logged in so that all edits are trackable to the person who did them? And she just refuses to engage on it. I mean, it's just unresponsive. And that's one of the things we see over and over, is unresponsive even to questions which are like, this is a technical question about how the redaction process is being carried out by the Justice Department. Yeah. And she refuses to be transparent about that at all.
Yeah. And it like adds in the layer of like, this is about this question is really about incompetence more than cover up.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't really even a political accusation. It's like, do you guys know what you're doing? I mean, you left unredacted the victim's names and you redacted the perp's name.
Right.
Like, that's the opposite of what you should have done. How'd that happen? Are you going to fix it? And, you know, I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, they probably have Grok doing the redactions, you know, at some level. And I think there's a cover up element to this, but there is also an incompetence level. We shot down a balloon on the border.
Yeah. Well, today. That's what it really is, right? It's how are you guys doing this thing which you are mandated by law to do? And the answer is, I guess we're just all in the honor system, right? The law says the Department of Justice has to do this. Department of Justice puts out a work product, and the work product sucks and doesn't comply with the law. And when Congress goes to exert some oversight and say, wait a minute, hold on, how are you doing this thing? The Department of Justice just says, fuck you.
Right.
I mean, okay.
Right. It's our law. We pass the law. I want to get back to a couple more Epstein things, but first, there was one other topic, or there are several other topics that got brought up, but one that I think is worth highlighting. Jonah Goose, rep from Colorado, fellow Nuggets fan, I'm a big Goose man. He wanted to bring up the case of one of the pardoned J6ers who now apparently works for us, the public servant, working in the Justice Department. Let's take a look at that exchange.
Hey, you guys are disgusting. I'm former law enforcement. You're disgusting. You are the Nazi. You are the Gestapo. You can't see it because you're chasing your pension, right? Pension. Your retirement, right? That's what runs your life, your retirement.
The sad thing is they're not even going to get their pension because it's going to be your loss.
And shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. Yeah. Fuck them.
Seems like a level-headed gentleman.
Yeah.
Somebody, do you want in a position of authority for the government?
Just exercising his First Amendment right to free speech.
That man works for you now, right?
Who was that, Congressman?
The man in that video, the one who was in the police-worn body cam footage, the one allegedly yelling, kill him, at police officers on January 6th, his name is Jared Wise.
He does work for us.
He works for you at the Department of Justice.
He does.
This is an individual.
Meritocracy.
Whom a federal grand jury indicted for 2 felonies and 4 misdemeanors related to his participation in the attack on January 6th. One of those charges was forcibly assaulting, resisting, opposing, impeding, intimidating, and interfering with police with the intent to commit another felony. This is who you choose as the chief law enforcement officer of the United States of America to hire at the Department of Justice, someone on video yelling, kill him, at police officers, right?
I believe he was pardoned by President Trump.
Oh, he was pardoned. You're right. You're right. Pardoned by President Trump.
That means it didn't happen. You know, it's like deleting a tweet, Tim, right? When you delete the Truth Social post with the Obamas as apes, it didn't happen. And when you get pardoned, it means, you know, saying that you kill them to a bunch of cops. That didn't happen either.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, look,
back the blue, Tim.
I want people to be able to have a second chance in life. I don't think he should have got a pardon. I think that somebody that did attack the Capitol, that ended up serving time, getting out of jail because they were pardoned corruptly by the president, should have a chance to, like, manage a McDonald's or something. I don't know. Maybe work the cashier's desk there at the McDonald's. You know, I think there are other potential jobs that might be appropriate for him. The Justice Department seems like a strange choice. Like, even if he was pardoned, I mean, he was there saying kill the cops. And
no, but those are the bad cops, Tim.
Got it.
Those are the bad cops. You got to keep it straight, right? There's the good cops, then there's the bad cops, and these are the bad cops.
So we're just learning more and more. So if you're wondering, how do you think that they fucked up the redaction so bad that they redacted the names of the perpetrators, the co-conspirators, the pedos with Epstein, but they left unredacted the victims' names? How could they have done that? How could they have at the border shot down a balloon when they thought it was a drone and closed down a whole major city's airport for a while because they were confused by a balloon? The answer does seem to be maybe the Jared Wises of the world are at the helm.
They're not sending us their best, Tim.
I don't think they are. Up next, things really escalated when Ted Lieu of California started questioning Pam Bondi. I think that he paints her into a corner on whether she's sharing the truth in her testimony. She isn't happy about it. And then he shares like some really jarring testimony that's in the files implicating potentially Donald Trump. So let's take a look at that.
Like former Prince Andrew, Donald Trump attended various parties with Jeffrey Epstein. I want to know, were there any underage girls at that party or at any party that Trump attended with Jeffrey Epstein?
This is so ridiculous, and that they are trying to deflect from all the great things Donald Trump has done. There is no evidence that Donald Trump has committed a crime. Everyone knows that. This has been the most transparent presidency. He's the one that asked that those files be released.
I got your answer. You
President
said there's no evidence.
Trump asked
Mr. Chairman, please stop the clock.
Stop the clock.
This time belongs to the gentleman from California.
Okay. I'm going to put up another document from a witness who called the FBI's National Threat Operations Center, because I believe you just lied under oath. There is ample evidence in the Epstein file.
Don't you ever accuse me of a crime.
I believe you just lied under oath, and this is all on videotape. You said there's no evidence of a crime. I'm showing you, here is a witness statement who called into the FBI's Threat Operations Center. He drove Donald Trump around in a limo. He overheard what Donald Trump said to Jeffrey on his cell phone. He was so angry, he was gonna stop a limo and hurt Donald Trump. And he met a girl who said she was raped by Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. She later had her head blown off, and officers at the scene said that could not have been suicide. No one at the Department of Justice interviewed this witness. You need to interview this witness immediately. Epstein should rot in hell, so should the men who patronize this operation. And as we say here today, there are over 1,000 sex trafficking victims, and you have not held a single man accountable. Shame on you. If you had any decency, you would resign right after this hearing concludes.
All right, JBL. So just let's do the first part of this first. Like, I did enjoy just the, I believe you just lied under oath. I like that bluntness. A lot of times the Democrats and journalists are hesitant to just be blunt. And Ted Lieu there isn't. And he's just like, look, you said there's no evidence that Donald Trump has committed a crime. I believe that's a lie. There is evidence that he committed a crime. Like, before we get into the specific one that Lieu brought up, I mean, Trump admitted to crimes related to women before. And he was caught on tape saying that women let you do whatever you want. And there have been many, many credible accusations of sexual assault that he's committed. Not in court.
He's been
with
convicted
underage
of crimes.
What's that? And
he's been convicted of other crimes.
So, you know, right. Anyway, like, just on that point, she gets back into a corner and, loses her cool. Her cortisol spikes.
What I found interesting of that was that she objected to being told that she's lying under oath, because lying under oath is a thing that many of the Trump appointees have done at this point, right? And they have never seemed particularly bothered by that, right? The general affect seems to be, so I lied under oath. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, right.
And she takes she does the sort of feel like, how dare you, sir? And I found that a little weird and interesting. And this is a thing where I do, like, you know, as you said earlier, going forward, how serious are they about trying to hang on and start playing by extra legal means, you know, which we're going to see, I think, probably a lot of as this year progresses, especially as we get closer to the election. And, you know, at some point, do they really stop? Like, does everybody stop caring that it looks like they're lying to Congress or committing perjuries? Or, I mean, there's a thing that I noticed on the White House website this week, where I went to the White House website and I got a pop-up that was like, you know, give us your email here so that we can keep you up to date with all the latest news, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, I mean, it's possible that this is gathering emails for, like, White House comms purposes. But it seems also possible that this is gathering emails for, like, Republican fundraising, which would be, if true, a very serious violation. But like all the Hatch Act stuff, right? They've just stopped pretending to care about the Hatch Act stuff. Maybe it's like that too. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, she's just losing her temper also. And things like throwing a fastball back at him. The fact that Lieu brought up the accusation or the testimony from the limousine driver, I thought was also interesting. This is just such another difference from what any other Justice Department would do in a situation like this, right? Because, like, in a situation like that, I don't, you know, the FBI gets, Donald Trump's been a famous person, like, the FBI gets bunk reports all the time from people who are either crazy people or people who are trying to cause trouble or whatever. So, like, is that that? Is that real? Is that legit? That is, like, what the job of this release should have been, right? Like that there are career prosecutors who are taking this stuff seriously, going back through everything, putting them out in a package, saying, hey, here are credible accusations. Here's some things that were included that we're going to share for transparency. But like in the past, some U.S. attorney looked into it and they saw that it was, you know, that the person was fabricating that, whatever. Like they didn't do that. They just dumped everything out there.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, and when the president of the United States is a serial perv and sexual assault artist, you're going to get into these situations. Where like, and that is obviously a very alarming report that Congressman Liu laid out. And like, our government cannot credibly interpret that for any of us. Well, and they don't seem to obviously have any interest in investigating it.
And that's the thing, right? And there's 0% chance that anybody ever goes and investigates this, because that's not what our Justice Department does anymore.
I want to fast forward towards the end of this here and go to Jerry Nadler, who's going to be replaced he's in the Bulwark primary. George is in there, a couple of guys, the Kennedy kid. Everybody wants Jerry Nadler's seat. And you can see why. See, senior member of the committee asked her about what I think is, again, the core question about all of this, right? Like there's a lot of, you know, sub stories and side stories and conspiracies, and there's political implications. But, like, the real story is, who are the other co-conspirators? Is there going to be justice for the victims, right? Like that's the serious part about this that isn't really political at all. It's only political in the sense that, like, maybe some of the co-conspirators are in the inner circle of this White House, but you know, that is what is the real thing that we need to discover here. And Nadler goes above and beyond that point. Let's watch that.
I really have just one question for you. How many of Epstein's co-conspirators have you indicted? How many perpetrators are you even investigating?
First, you showed it. I find it.
How many have you indicted?
Excuse me. I'm going to answer the question.
Answer my question.
No, I'm going to answer the question the way I want to answer the question.
No, you're going to answer the question the way I asked it.
Chairman Jordan, I'm not going to get in the gutter with these people.
How many
I'm going to answer the question.
How many have you indicted?
The time belongs to me.
I think it's very interesting.
Claiming my time.
I think it's very interesting.
You can reclaim
he talks
time,
about they indicted. The president said they indicted him twice.
Mr. Chairman, please stop the clock and stop the clock and restore his time.
Okay, here we go with these theatrics.
The time belongs to the gentleman from New York. We will give you a few more seconds. We will do that. But when you ask a question, the witness gets to answer. You may not like the answer, but she gets to answer.
The question was, how many of Epstein's...
They don't like the answer, Chairman.
Reclaiming my time.
Because it's honest. So he asked a four-minute question.
Restore 45 seconds to Mr. Nadler, please, Mr. Chairman.
Answer.
You can let her filibuster all day long, but not on our watch. Not on our time. No way. And I told you about that, Attorney General, before you started.
You don't tell me.
Yeah, I did tell you, because we saw what you did in the Senate.
Lawyer, not even a lawyer.
Committee will be in order.
So there you have it, JBL. That's the key. And if you took any of these fucking MAGA chuds at their word, that's the thing that they cared about. That's what Cash said back in the day, which is that, like, if there is anybody who else was involved in the pedophilia ring, we will come for you. We will put you in jail. We'll put you behind bars. It's what the FBI director said. And here we have Nadler asking about that specific question, like a very relevant, substantive question. Who were the other perpetrators? Who were the other child rapists? And Pam Bondi, again, resorts to theatrics and like insults and doing the like Donald Trump insult comedy, but without the charm.
This will tell us a lot about the American voters. Right. Because you saw this show up on survey after survey over the last, you know, 4 years, where Republican voters were really deeply concerned about all this stuff. And we even got an entire universe conspiracy theory, which developed around this.
Yeah.
And now it turns out that I am not here to say that QAnon had it right. That is not true. That is not the case. But it is the case that there was a cabal of a ring of pedophiles at the very highest elite levels, and that they didn't wear babies' faces and do frazzle drip, but you know, there was a bunch of criming going on, and it was all being covered up, and there's all sorts of mysterious deaths associated with it. And now a lot of those people just simply don't care. And more to the point, they even pretend that they're going to care about it, like to go after Democrats. I don't know if you remember this, but we had a moment immediately after the law was signed about mandating the release where the Justice Department was like, oh, there's a bunch of stuff we can't put out because it has a bunch of Democrats in it.
Yeah.
And the response by, I think, people like us was, great, you're going to prosecute those people, right?
Yeah, great, do it.
And but they're not doing that either.
Yeah.
Right? And the reason they're not doing it is because I don't think there are any people like that.
I mean, Donald Trump used to be a Democrat, so, you know, there's...
Well, fair. But you see what I'm saying? Like, it is a whole disinterest. They're not even trying to swap in for a new, you know, here's the real bad guy in this. They just want to shut the whole thing down. And I am interested to see if Republican voters tolerate that. What do you think they'll do, Tim?
I think that a lot of them will tolerate it. But I also think that they're in for some heat because this is not, there is also a conspiracy, a conservative coded conspiracy industrial media complex. Mm-hmm. They already don't like, I mean, even all the way up through and like Megyn Kelly, like they don't like Pam Bondi that much. And they're not that impressed with Bondi and Patel. And I mean, imagine if there's also kind of the MAGA conspiracy world where they're upset that nobody's been arrested for the 2020 election crimes. Right? They're like, what are these guys doing? They haven't done anything. So I think that what hurt Trump, you've walked me to where you wanted me to go, which is I think Republican voters will give him a pass. Right. Bondi, though, is in some hot water. And I think when your cortisol is spiking like that and Jerry Nadler is frame mogging you, you know, that's not good. That's bad.
I would remind people that Pam Bondi was the grown-up pick who reassured everyone that Donald Trump wasn't going to be that bad.
Yeah.
Do you remember the sigh of relief from the Wall Street Journal editorial board when, oh, thank goodness, Pam Bondi, well, she's a grown-up.
They really should have left it to be Gates. I mean, if somebody was going to just lie to the Congress about the cover-up of sex with underage women, why not just have it be Matt Gaetz? You know?
Right.
Well, if someone's going to put on a show and start, your theatrics are ridiculous, let the big forehead guy do it. He would have been better. Okay, JVL, I got to run. I appreciate it. Everybody, as mentioned at the top, subscribe to the feed. We got a lot more coming this week, so we'll see you all soon.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.